Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about Bez Hashem Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is one of those unusual halachos in that if you open up a Shulchan Aruch and you see the words Mayim Achronim Chova, you get the impression that Mayim Achronim is a Chova, that there's an obligation to wash Mayim Achronim. But then you look around at what people actually do, and it doesn't seem that everybody actually is makbid to wash Mayim Achronim. We have to remember, Mayim Achronim is not a Shabbos halacha. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with Hilcha Shabbos. So even those who are, you know, who have a fancy dish for Mayim Achronim and therefore use it on Shabbos, typically do not use it, it would seem, or a lot of people at least, do not seem to use it during the week. In addition to that, it's also an unusual halacha in the sense that, or an unusual practice, in the sense that there are a lot of things that seem strange about it. Covering up the water, not leaving the water out on the table, what's that about? Do we have any other halacha like that? Is there any parallel to that, where we can't bench because, or we can't say a bracha because there is something impure that's on the table? The idea of of not even really washing, just using like these tiny amounts of water because the kalim that they make for Mayim Achronim are so minuscule and it's got to be passed around. And why is it that as it gets passed around the table, all the women don't touch it? It only goes to the men. Why do women not have to wash Mayim Achronim? Mayim Rishonim, women have to wash. So Mayim Achronim is a very unusual halacha. I remember when I was a bachur in yeshiva, the story that was going around about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zichrono Livracha was that when he first graduated Yeshiva University and went to graduate school in Harvard for his PhD, he felt that going to Harvard was, this is the story, maybe someone can verify that it's not true, was that he felt that going to Harvard was going to a makom sakana, and the halach is when you go to a makom sakana, you're supposed to, or the practice is, when you go to, we learn from Yaakov Avinu, when you go to makom sakana, a person is supposed to take upon himself something new, some sort of chumrah. So the word was that when he went to Harvard, he took his chumrah that he was going to take upon himself as mayim achronim, which was megale to us as bachrim, that he felt, at least at that stage in his life, that's a chumrah, that it's not a din, that it's not a requirement, that it's only a chumrah. So is it only a chumrah, or is it a requirement? So all of these things are need to be investigated a little bit. And also, you know, as much as one would want to say that Mayim Achronim is a chiyuv, as we'll see soon, based on a number of sources, it doesn't seem that anyone says a bracha on Mayim Achronim. If it was really a mitzvah the way Mayim Rishonim was, then why is there no bracha? So where does it all come from? Where does it all start? So it seems that there are two primary reasons for washing Mayim Achronim and two additional reasons that you wouldn't call primary reasons but that are at least out there for washing Mayim Achronim. The two primary reasons emerge from two different sugyas in Shas. First, you have a sugya in Chulin Daf Kuf Hei Amar Aleph. The Gemara tells us in Chulin Daf Kuf Hei, Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashayan, Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, to wash before a meal is a mitzvah, Va'achronim Chova. And to wash Mayim Achronim is a Chova. So right away, the difference in Lashon is striking. Mitzvah versus Chova, which is stronger? Is a mitzvah stronger or a chova stronger? So what's your impression? Right, chova sounds more serious, right? Chova sounds like, so you would think of the two that Mayim Achronim would be the more severe. So let's see how it plays out in the Gemara. So it says Gemara, first of all, is that even true that there's a difference between Rishonim and Achronim? Meisve, Mayim Rishonim v'Achronim chova emtsayim Rishos. We have another brisa that tells us Rishonim and Achronim are both chova, and the emtsayim are Rishos. Whoa, emtsayim? What are Mayim emtsayim? I've never even heard of that. And yet the Gemara says there's such a concept of Mayim emtsayim. But don't worry, that's only a Rishus. But you see that it calls both Rishonim and Achronim Chova. Says Gemara, Mitzvah Lagabe Rishus, Chova Karila. Something that's really only on the level of Mitzvah, when you compare it to a Rishus, it gets elevated to Chova. But really, it's just a Mitzvah, meaning everything is relative. But when you have Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, comparing Mayim Rishonim and Achronim to each other, you have Mayim Rishonim being the lesser of the two, the Mitzvah, whereas Mayim Achronim is the Chova. So the Gemara explains, goes on to discuss some of the differences la'alacha. Rishonim notlin ben bekli ben al gabe karka. Achronim Mayim Einotlin Ella Bikli Va'armila Einotlin Al Gabe Karka. Mayim Rishonim, you can pour the water wherever you want, just over your hands, and then it can land wherever. Mayim Achronim can't land on the ground. It's got to be Dafka in a Kli. Mayim Rishonim Notlin Bein Bechamin Bein Bitzonin. Washing Mayim Rishonim, you could wash with hot or cold water. I just saw recently someone had a Maisa with Rav Steinemann Zichron Levracha, that they had taken him, he must have been in his 90s at the time, and they had taken him to visit a Beis HaKvaros for one reason or another, and they helped him wash his hands afterwards, and they didn't realize it must have been in the summertime, the water that they were washing his hands with was boiling hot, and they didn't realize, and they were pouring it on his hands, and he didn't say anything, and only when the person who helped him wash afterwards washed his hands and screamed in pain, he realized that Rav Steinemann was just being polite and not screaming. It's like that Maisa they tell the Rav Maisha with his hand in the car door. Whether it's true or not, but they don't say these Maisa lech about me and you, right? One of the differences between Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim is that Mayim Rishonim, whatever temperature you want the water to be, is fine. Achronim ain't notin ela, but so name. Achronim's got to be cold water. So you see that we're more strict about Mayim Achronim. There are more details, there are more halachos that we have to be careful about, where the water goes, what the temperature of the water is. Although the temperature, the Gemara explains, is because hot water, we assume, is not really going to remove the grease or the dirtiness that's on the hands that you're actually trying to wash away. See, Mayim Rishonim is some sort of spiritual impurity, but it's not really anything, any physical dirtiness or grease, or maybe dirtiness, but it's not grease that you're trying to wash away, and therefore it could be washed away with whatever temperature. But Mayim Achronim requires cold water. We're skipping around in the Gemara, that's why here it is. Why is it that we have a chiyuv of Mayim Achronim? Shemelach Sodomis Yesh, Shemesame Yaseinayim. Because there's such a type of salt called Melach Sodomis, and if you get it on your fingers and then you rub your eyes, it could blind your eyes. You want to make sure you get it all off your fingers before you go on with your life. Amar Abaye Umishtachach Kikorta Bekura. Okay, discusses the nature of this Melach Sodomis. But bottom line from this Gemara is that Mayim Achronim seems to be a greater chiv than Mayim Rishonim. And the reason for the chiyuv of Mayim Achronim seems to be melech sdomis, that there's some type of salt that's dangerous, can't leave it on your hands, and that's the problem with it. Would that explain why it's stricter than Mayim Rishonim? I mean, so in order to answer that properly, what's the reason for Mayim Rishonim? Why do we wash Mayim Rishonim? So Mishbura quotes, I don't have it here, but Mishbura quotes two opinions as to what the reason is for Mayim Rishonim. One possibility, Mishabur says, is Mishum Nikius. It's not Mishabur making it up. Obviously, this is all in Rishonim already. But one of the possibilities is Nikius, that it's just to have your hands clean, right? That's why the Mishnah Masecha Sukkah, when it describes that Rabbi Tzadik, when they gave him Pachas Mikabetza of Ochel, and he ate it Michutz L'Sukkah, and he wrapped his hands B'mapa, and he ate it. So Rashi says, why did he wrap his hands B'mapa? Mishum Nikius, meaning there has to be this, you can't get your food dirty, so you got to wash your hands Mishum Nikius. But then there's an additional reason for Mayim Rishonim, and that is, it's a Mishum Srach Truma, that Kohanim, when they would eat Truma, used to have to wash their hands before eating Truma, because there's a Tumah Derabanan called Tumas HaYadayim. Yadayim cannot become Tamei on a Daraisa level. On a Daraisa level, either your entire body is Tamei, or none of it is Tamei. There's no such thing as Tumas HaYadayim on a Daraisa level. But on a Derabanan level, there's something called Tumas HaYadayim. That could be Metamei Truma. So in order to sort of commemorate that, all of us, for all bread, it's very interesting because it's so different than the original halacha. The original halacha was for truma. Truma is lavdafka bread. You know, truma is anything that grows from the ground, essentially. Machlok Rishonim, what's truma d'araisa, what's truma d'rabanan? At least shivas aminim are truma d'araisa, right? So, well, I shouldn't say that. At least dagan tirosh v'yitzar are chayiv in truma d'araisa. But the point is that it had nothing to do with bread. You could be eating, you could be drinking wine, you could be touching olives or whatever. That could all be truma. And that's washing your hands for that. and it was Kohanim who had to do it, and yet, because other people weren't really handling Truma much, and yet, the way we commemorate that halacha is by having everybody wash, but only for bread. Meaning, it sounds like we just wanted some remnant where everybody will always remember. So bread is like the staple. So we kept that. We kept it on bread alone. And we kept it for everybody. But those are the reasons for Mayim Rishonim. So technical reasons of Nikius or Srach Chuma. Mayim Achronim, if you don't do it, it could be dangerous. It could be Mesamei Aseinayim. So it could be that it fits very nicely that Mayim Achronim is going to be a little more strict, because Chamira Sakanta Meisura. Sakana is always a little stricter than Isser is. For example, you have a din that Isser is batal b'shishim. Something that's not kosher is batal b'shishim. Sakana, machlokas aposkim. Not so pashut that it's batal b'shishim. You have something dangerous. You know, if someone were to serve you a meal and say, just a little bit of poison, not too much, just a little bit, it's batal b'shishim. So probably you'd say, what else is on the menu? Maybe something else. I'm not going to have the thing. But so that's a discussion between the Shach and the Taz. Sakana, batal b'shishim. We're a little more strict about sakana than we are about iser. But that's one sugya, that Mayim Achronim is all about Melech Sedomis. Then we have a second sugya, in Mesechus Brachos, really a first sugya, Brachos comes before Chulin, in Brachos Taf Nun Gimlon Beis, and the Gemara tells us, Tan Rabbanan, Shemen Ma'akev Es HaBracha, the oil that you need to rub on your hands, you need to do it before the bracha. They used to have oil. Divrei Rabbi Zilai, that's what Rabbi Zilai said. Look at the names in this Gemara. Rabbi Zivai Omer, Rabbi Zivai says, Eino Ma'akev, the Shemen is not Ma'akev. Rav Acha Omer, Shemen Tov Ma'akev, that Shemen Tov is Ma'akev, the Bracha. Rabbi Zohamai Omer, Keshem Shemizuham Pasal Avoda, Kach Yadayim Mizuham was Pasal the Bracha. You get the idea that these aren't their real names, right? Rabbi Zuhumai happens to talk about Zuhama. Yeah, that's a coincidence. You know, they say that if you live in Philadelphia, there's a higher chance that you'll name your child Phil than you'll name him, you know, something else, because like you associate certain things, right? Is that what that what this is? Because his name was Rabbi Zumayi, he needed to know every halacha there was about Zuhama. No, sometimes you have people that are called Amoraim that are called based on the halacha that they teach. The name that they were given in the Gemara is based on the halacha that they teach. But anyway, Rabbi Zumayi says that just like someone who's Mizuham, who's disgusting, is Pasal Avoda, Yadayim Mizuhamos, cannot recite a bracha with dirty hands. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak calling out all these names, says, Ana lo zilai, velo zivai, velo zuhumai yadana. I don't know who any of these people are. But, elamasnisi yadana. Here's what I do know. I know Mishnayis and Brises. Damar Vidamra, v'amil masnisa tana, v'iskadashtem, Paskin Chumash. Viskadashtem elu mayim rishonim. The word viskadashtem teaches us mayim rishonim. V'yisem kadoshim elu mayim achronim. Ki kadosh zashemen ani Hashem Elokechem zubracha. So according to Paskin Chumash, that teaches us mayim rishonim, mayim achronim. Sounds like mayim achronim. If this were a real drasha, then this would sound like all of these dinim are dinim daraisa. Right, that the Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. Now, l'chora, it's not a din d'oraisa, but it sounds like it's at least an asmachta, it's some sort of formal takana, that it's not only about Melech Sedomis. By putting an asmachta on the pasuk and associating it with the other things we're associated with, Mayim Rishonim and Birchas Hamazon, sounds like it's some sort of formal takana beyond just the Melech Sedomis. So those are the two primary reasons. That there's some sort of formal takana of Mayim Achronim versus Melech Sedomis, you know, practicality. Get rid of whatever is making your hands filthy. Right? Those are the two basic possibilities. But then there are two other factors to keep in mind. There's a sugya in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel that gives us sort of another reason for Mayim Achronim. The Gemara tells us a story of a number of Rabbanim that were traveling together. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rav Ka'azli Borcha. Rav Meir Rav Adayik B'Shma. Rav Meir had this practice that when someone would tell them his name, would tell him their name, he would sort of figure out their qualities and their personality based on their name and would know what to expect a little bit based on what their name is. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, love a daiku b'shma. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, name is a name. It's just a way of identifying a person. They weren't going to read too much into the name. Kimatalu duchta ba'ushbizos. They got to a certain place, They looked for a place to stay. Yavalu, so an innkeeper put them up. Amru lo, ma shimcha. So they interviewed the innkeeper. What's your name? You know, just a small talk. Amru lo, Kidar, an unusual name. He said, my name is Kidar. So Amar, shmami na adam rashu. So Meir says, quietly to himself, because he cared about names, if his name is Kidar, he's a Rasha. Shenemar ki dor tapuchos hema, because the pasuk says ki dor tapuchos hema. So ki dor refers to some terrible thing. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Ashlim lekisayu. Rabbi Meir lo ashlim lekisay. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi trusted him with their wallets. Rabbi Meir didn't. Azalus vebe kivrei davua ischazile bichalmi tashakol kisa demanecha resha du gavra lemachar amrlu hachi ischazile bichalmai amrle chalmud be shimshi lespu mamasha. The Gemara tells a whole maysa about a story, about a dream rather. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, they lost all their money and he didn't. Rabbi Meir didn't. So Rabbi Meir said to them, you know, you only have yourselves to blame. Why weren't you medayik b'shma? So they said, wait, you knew the whole time that he was a Rasha and you just allowed us to give him all of our money and you didn't like bother telling us that he's a Rasha? So Amlu Eimadamarana Chashasha Achzuke Meyamri. Ah, Lashon Hara, I'm not going to, you know. He says, I'm Choshesh because of the name, but I'm not certain. I don't know. I'm not going to start spreading rumors, you know, terrible things about the guy because of the name. So anyway, Mashchu Vailu L'chanusa. They went out drinking with this guy. Chazu Talpeche Asfame. And they saw that he had a certain type of food on his mustache. So they knew what he had for dinner that night. So they went and they told his wife, oh, your husband said that you should give back those wallets that he had brought home the other night. And she said, how do I know my husband told you and you're not just a bunch of ganavim that are coming to take? Oh, no, he said a simon to remember, to know that that it could have only been said by him, that he had beans for dinner tonight. So she gave them their wallets and they went on their way. Azul ihu, this guy Kidor comes home. Where's the money? Oh, those guys came to the katle itse, and he killed his wife. Hainu detanya, mayim rishonim echilu basu chazir, mayim achronim hargu es hanefesh. Life was lost because of mayim achronim. Well, mayim achronim show up in the story. What does mayim achronim have to do? Because he was still filthy from his meal. He didn't wash off after the meal, and that's why. That ultimately is what cost his wife her life. The Mayim Achronim were Hargu Es HaNefesh. A reason for Mayim Achronim? No, but something to keep in mind, that there is this, at least, legend about Mayim Achronim, that a woman died because of Mayim Achronim. And then another thing to keep in mind, a fourth thing to keep in mind about Mayim Achronim, is what all of the Sifrei HaKabbalah apparently emphasize, that there are some major Kabbalistic implications to Mayim Achronim. Don't know what they are, what they mean exactly, but they're summarized by Rav Yitzchak Yosef in Yalkut Yosef. He writes, he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, Shemadgish Chiyuv Mayim Achronim, who emphasizes the Chiyuv of Mayim Achronim. The Kaf HaChaim writes, Ki Asitra Achra Omer Al HaShulchan, the Sitra Achra, who's not our friend, is by the table. That's the best I could translate Sitra Achra. Is by the table. The Yochel Oz Lishlot Alav Yoser Mishar Zmanim. And the Sitra Achra is able to control us, to rule over us more than any other time. Ubiprat Yosad Michidi, especially if you're alone. And the Birch Samazon is Mistalik, or Zimun rather, is Mistalik the Sitra Achra. And the Shlach HaKadosh writes that Mayim Achronim is a Chova, that the Ksarim HaTachtonim are called Chova, and they're Mata, a person from Kaf Chova to Kaf Schus. So the Mayim Achronim helps bring us, you know, it sort of satisfies the Sitra Achra, gets rid of the Sitra Achra, I don't know what any of this means, but brings us Lekaf Schus. The Reb Chaim Palagi in Kaf Chaim writes, from the Yalkut Ruveni, that Eov didn't do Mayim Achronim. And that's why Eov had what happened to him, because he didn't do Mayim Achronim. So like terrifying things about my Chuvus Min HaShemayim. Shout out to Chuvus Min HaShemayim for one of the Bali Atosos. He used to go to sleep at night and have dreams that he'd go up to Shemayim and ask all of his Shailas in Shemayim, and then he'd wake up with the answer in his head, and he'd write it down. Very fascinating sefer. There's a whole, Rav Reuven Margolios wrote a whole little kuntros he printed the Shas Shuvos Min HaShamayim, but it's a little very thin book. The Shas Shuvos Min HaShamayim themselves are very, very not tons of tshuvas. It's not like Nigros Moshe said, you know. But more than half of the book is Rav Reuven Margolios explaining what the significance of having tshuvas Min HaShamayim are. Meaning, do you just say like, oh, okay, if he got it Min HaShamayim, then that's automatically true and right, and we pass on like everything Min HaShamayim? Or do you say, no, we don't pass on like anything Min HaShamayim, lo b'shamayim hi? Or do you say, well, let's see, does it make sense? If it makes sense, we'll pass on like it. If it doesn't make sense, we won't pass on, you know, we treat it like any other posek. So interesting, save for Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. But in Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, it says that through Sheilas Chayom, Chalom rather, Mayim Rishonim Achronim Dover Sheb Kedushayim, V'kol Dover Sheb Kedusha, HaMekel Bo Mekilin Lo Yamav Ushnosav. That someone who's lenient with Mayim Achronim, Mekilin Bo Yamav Ushnosav. Kava Yasha says, I've seen people who are making this, Mischayev Benafsham, that they're over al Divrei Chazal. It's a sod gadol in Kabbalah to be careful about Mayim Achronim. Okay, so it's, you know, it's a big deal in Kabbalah. So here's what we have about Mayim Achronim so far. We have the fact that there's Melech Sodomis, so practically you got to get rid of Melech Sodomis. We have this idea that the Yisam Kedoshim somehow relates to a Pasuk, even though probably not Doraisa, but at least the association with the Pasuk tells you about some sort of more formal type of Chiyuv. Then you have just the story about how someone died because they didn't wash up after a meal, or because their husband didn't wash up after a meal. And then the idea that Al Pi Kabbalah, there's something very significant about it. L'may Nafkamina, what the reason to do Mayim Achronim is. So there could be several Nafkaminas. First of all, Bizman Hazeh. We don't have Melech Sodomis. Do we still have to, assuming we don't have Melech Sodomis, it's an assumption, assuming we don't have Melech Sodomis, there's just still a reason to do it. If the whole thing is all Melech Sodomis, then there would be no reason to do it. But if it was some sort of formal takana, and Melech Sodomis was just part of what motivated the takana, but it was a formal takana, then we would still have to do it. Or what if the following happens? A person forgot to wash Mayim Achronim. He's in the middle of benching, and he realizes, forgot Mayim Achronim. What do I do now? Do I stop in middle benching to wash Mayim Achronim? Do I just say, I'll wait till after benching, and I'll wash Mayim Achronim then? So if you hold that it's some sort of formal takana because you can't bench with your Yadayim Mezuhamos, you're not allowed to bench with dirty hands, so then every bracha you say of benching is another iser to do with dirty hands, right? So even if you're yotzei the first few brachas, let's say, even though your hands were dirty, you'd have to still correct it for the coming brachas. But if it's about Melech Sodomis, so okay, I'll be careful not to touch my eyes for the rest of benching. And why would I be mafsik in the middle of benching to take care of Melech Sodomis? Or another nafkamina, you finished Birchas HaMazon already. So do you say, oh, for following, too late, I missed it. I missed my Mayim Achronim opportunity. Or do you say, no, I still got to do it. So if it's about it, didn't Melech Sodomis, you can't, the point is not for benching, the point is you can't have Melech Sodomis on your hands because you can go blind. So I don't care that you finish benching, do it now. But if the point is, v'iskadashtem, v'yisam kadoshim, that you can't bench with dirty hands, so once you finish benching, okay, so it's already too late, so then there's no chiyuv anymore of washing Mayim Achronim. Mishra Brura writes, kolem ashim tzu Mayim Achakach, yitol yadav, mishum chashash, Melech Sodomis. He says that if you find water afterwards, so wash that, because Melech Sodomis is the real concern. But that luchar is enough kamina. Or another nafkamina, and then this perhaps even more basic. Mayim Rishonim has very specific halachos. Got to use a kli two times each, lechachila, right? If, certainly if it's less than a revius. In the Shulchan Aruch says in times where water is hard to come by, you could have even many people wash with a single revius of water. And our last shalashudis in the other building, so the water had already been shut off. And we had a lot of people that needed to wash, and there was no water, so there was just like one little Poland Spring bottle. So someone had suggested that when they were in camp, what was it, Camp Aguda with Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, so when he would take them on these hikes or trips or whatever, so when he'd have all the guys pile up their hands on top of each other like this, and he would take a revius of Mayim and wash them like that. So that, because that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha. But there are specific details of how to wash. There are halachas about how to wash Mayim Rishonim. Are there details of how to wash Mayim Achronim? Or just wash it? Meaning, do you need a kli? Do you need koach gavra? Can you just turn on the faucet? So, l'chorot nafkamina. If it's about Melech Sodomis, If it's about Malchus Tomus, you shouldn't need anything. Just wash, you know, as long as it cleans it off. But if it's about some sort of formal takana, your daim is uhamel, it's not kasha lebracha, so you got to wash in order to. So then maybe there are reasons for it. There are details of how to do it. There are other nafkaminas as well. Should you recite a bracha on mayim achronim? Are women chayiv in mayim achronim? Maybe that might be a nafkamina, and we'll get to it. We'll get to it if we skip around a little bit. So maybe we'll start with that. Let's start with the women and mayim achronim. We'll work our way backwards. Are women chayiv in mayim achronim? So like we said, the practice seems to be not. The practice seems to be that women don't do it, but is that necessarily correct? So if it's based on the Yisam Kedoshim, or if it's to remove Zuama, to remove some sort of dirt in order to say a bracha, or if it's to remove Melech Sodomus, for all of these reasons, women should be chayiv. Right? The assumption, l'chora, is that women's hands also get dirty when they eat, that women are also exposed to Melech Sodomus, and why would there be a takan of Netilas Yadayim for men and not for women? L'chora, it needs some explanation why women would not be chayiv. The only one that works for women is if it's alpi kabbalah. If the only reason we do mayim achronim is that alpi nistar, there's this inyan of mayim achronim that even absent all the reasons, because let's say those reasons don't apply anymore, but alpi nistar, there's this idea of mayim achronim. So one could argue, Rav Shturmbach writes in Shuvas Van Hagos, that women typically do not observe those minhagim that are chumras mitam sod, that are based on sod. I don't really understand why, but those the Kabbalistic things are generally observed by men and not for women. Halach lemaisa, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Shuvas Almas Chaim writes that women are absolutely chayiv. V'yisem kadoshim, and also melech stomus, it all applies to women. Aruch HaShulchan says a person should be careful to be masir b'nei beso litol mayim achronim. B'nei beso is everybody, women, children, everybody. In Tshuvas, Maimor Mordechai, Mordechai Eliyahu says, Umeata, kimet shanu poskim shechova litol yadav b'mayim achronim, since we paskin that you have to wash mayim achronim, im mitam melech stomus, v'adoma lemelech stomus, whether it's because we have actual melech stomus or something that's like melech stomus, Omi tamsha yadayim tiyan nekiyos tnei habracha, or because we need to clean our hands before the bracha. Omi tamsha lasar satuma shuvu kabbalah, or because of the sitra achra and the kokoch satuma or whatever. All of these reasons apply to women, says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. So, great. So, they all apply to women. So, why don't women do it? So, there are four possibilities that I've seen out there as to why women don't wash mayim achronim. One is what we mentioned from Rav Shturmbach. Alpi kabbalah, things that are alpi kabbalah, women don't do. Okay. But that's assuming that the only reason men would wash mayim achronim today is because alpi kabbalah, and that's why that's the one and only reason, so that doesn't apply to women. Rav Vosner in Shevet Alevi says that really there is no chiv of mayim achronim b'zman hazeh, and it's a chumrah, meaning there is no requirement. So men, some men do the chumrah, some men don't, and most women don't. They have no obligation to take the chumrah, meaning it doesn't need to be explained. The whole thing really, mikra adin, is only a chumrah. Where does he get that idea that the whole thing is a chumrah? So we skipped a little bit, but there's a machlokas rishonim. How do we understand these two sugyas that we pointed to? The one idea that it's because of melech sodomus, and the other idea that it's chiyuv mitzad kedusha of some sort. So Tosus writes that the chiyuv is entirely because of melech sodomus, and therefore Tosus says we don't have melech sodomus, we don't need mayim achronim. He says anashim unagim haregilin litol yidei machar suda. People who are very sensitive and are very clean and are very generally always try to clean up, for them they certainly have to wash before benching. Meaning what Tosfos seems to be saying is the din of Yisam Kedoshim is that you're not supposed to bench with Yadayim Mezuhamos. But what is the definition of Yadayim Mezuhamos? How dirty do your hands have to be? So Tosfos seems to understand it depends on whatever social construct you find yourself in, meaning if that's what people consider dirty. So if you're in a place where there is melech sodomus available, and so people would never allow themselves to walk around, so that's what you wash off the melech sodomus. But you know, if most people after eating a meal wouldn't be makbid to wash their hands, so then you don't have to be makbid to wash your hands. So it is a din in yadayim zuhamos, but the definition of zuhama is cultural. So therefore, Tosfos says there's no chiyuv of mayim achronim bizman hazeh. So it could be, says Rav Vosner, if we pass like Tosfos, really mikra din, and if we pass like Tosfos mikra din, there's nothing to talk about. There's no reason to try to justify for women, but that doesn't really satisfy what makes women different than men. That's just most women don't take upon themselves as chumrah. Yaakov Emden, Mark Tzi, has a somewhat creative take on why it is dafka women don't wash mayim achronim. Yaakov Emden writes that it used to be no one would use a fork and knife. Nowadays everyone uses utensils to eat, so no one has dirty hands at the end of the meal. But he says it could be that women are more careful about eating with utensils than men are. Meaning men are more interested in getting the food into their mouths. Women are more interested in how the food is going to get in the mouths, make sure that that's done with some level of dignity. So that's why if you know, you go to a place to eat, a man might order, you know, ribs or you know, what do they call it, chicken wings or like things like that. A woman, you know, you ever see a woman eat a chicken wing? Right? What is it? Cutting out the thing. So, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, so women don't have to wash mayim achronim because they never have yadayim mezuhamos, because that seems to be the minhag. That's how they eat. Very interesting. And then I saw something that bothered me a little bit. In the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael, he had a fourth explanation. He says that he heard from Rosh Hashanah Zalman that women are not makbid because they're mistamchos on maisa muv begemara, shemayim achronim otziu isha mibayla v'af harguas anefesh. They're relying on what the Gemara says, that remember that woman that was killed because of mayim achronim. So they don't want to accept mayim achronim because mayim achronim killed a woman. That bothered me a little bit because that wasn't the story. Mayim achronim didn't kill the woman. What?
The murderer did.
The murderer did, yeah. But even that, what led the murderer to kill the woman? Lack of mayim achronim. So if anything, mayim achronim should have been something that women should have been more zayir in. So I don't know. I saw in the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman like that. It seems a little bit strange. And then I found in Salmas Chaim, he says, Adraba, it's muchach from the Mais and the Gemara, that an isha neregis beglal shaloik berabal b'mayim achronim. Not because they weren't nisar in mayim achronim. Obviously, he wasn't commenting on Shlomo Zalman, but Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld on his own, anticipating, or maybe quoting some earlier source, I don't remember, who suggested something similar. But it seems that it was lack of mayim achronim that really did the woman in. Moving backwards, though, now. We discussed, okay, there are these two sugyos, there's Melech Sodomus, and then there's like this formal takana. So we mentioned one approach, Shita Satosos. What's Shita Satosos? That really the halacha was all because of Melech Sodomus, but it was the way to fit that with the sugya of making sure your hands are clean and kadosh for the bracha is that the definition of clean and kadosh is based on your time and place. And when they had Melech Sodomus, no one would ever leave the table with their hands full of Melech Sodomus. So therefore, you can't bench with Melech Sodomus. Since that was something people were makbid to get rid of, to remove from their hands, you can't bench with something on your hands that people are makbid to get rid of from their hands. So Melech Sodomus was that thing. Therefore, says Tosfos, nowadays we don't have Melech Sodomus, nor is there, or do we typically end our meals with hands that are so dirty that we wouldn't go on with our day like that. So therefore, there's no chiyuv mayim achronim anymore. That's how Tosfos understands. The Rush in the eighth paragraph of Brachos writes a little differently. He says, "Yeshlom mishum kedusha mishen mitzvah, umishum sakonas melech sodomus osif lasos lechova." The Rush says, "You remember that Gemara? The Gemara said mayim rishonim is a mitzvah, mayim achronim is a chova." And then the Gemara went on to show why Mayim Achronim has stricter standards than Mayim Rishonim. And it said, oh, by the way, the reason that we do it, that Mayim Achronim is a Chova, didn't ask why we do Mayim Achronim. It said the reason Mayim Achronim is a Chova is Melech Sodomus. The Gemara in Brachos just said, V'skadashtem, Mayim Rishonim, V'yisem Kadoshim, Mayim Achronim, that they're all, you know, part of the same system. So these are two different sugyas, says the Rash. The Gemara in Brachos is talking about the same system. Why they're both a mitzvah? They're both a mitzvah because you have to clean off your hands and whatever. Niki was for Mayim Rishonim and cleaning off your hands for Mayim Achronim. They're both a mitzvah. What makes Mayim Achronim a bigger deal than Mayim Rishonim? That's Melech Sodomus. So there are Tzvei Dinim in Mayim Achronim, says the Rash. There's the din of Vizkadashtem, which is the same din as Mayim Rishonim. That's just a mitzvah, regular mitzvah. And then there's an additional element of Chova, which is based on Melech Sodomus. That's what the Rush suggests. And then the Rush quotes Rav Haigon with a different approach. That when we say it's a mitzvah Mishum Kedusha, he says there's a difference between who's washing. You know, it used to be, nowadays it's not the practice anymore, even though Shulchan Aruch recommends it, that when you have a group of people eating together, only one person would bench, everyone else sits and listens quietly. I'm told that in Rabbi Chait's yeshiva, that's what they do when they bench in yeshiva, that they have one person, because he follows what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I'm also told of a very close friend, who's a close Talmud, of Rabbi Chait, who said that he doesn't recommend it in people's homes when there are kids running around, there's different families and whatever, and people aren't going to be focused. But he figures B'nai Yeshiva should be able to handle that. B'nai Yeshiva should be able to... that's the name of the yeshiva, right? B'nai Yeshiva, is that what it's called? Something like that, yeah. So they should be able to handle listening to somebody else bench. But it used to be, in times of the Rishonim, one person would bench, everyone else would just listen. So says the Rosh, in the name of Haigon, the idea of washing your hands off Mishum Kedusha, that's only for the Mevarech. Melech Sodomus is for everybody. I mean, the Melech Sodomus, you don't want to blind yourself. So that's for everybody. Kedusha, though, you're going to be benching. You can't have dirty hands if you're going to be benching. That's only for the Mevarech. So he says that's how we're miyashiv, miyashiv the sugyas with each other, which is interesting because it turns out that there are different levels of chiyuv for the mevarich and for everybody else. But nowadays that we all bench, we all have both levels of chiyuv, meaning we all have the yisem kedoshim as well. The Rif writes that the Rif seems to hold that mikra din. Mayim Achronim is all about Melech Sodomus and Sakana. But once they were Mesakin to do it for the Sakana of Melech Sodomus, they said, okay, so included in that Takana is any other Sakana that might come about. Meaning anything else that might get on your hands that might be problematic, or even a Maisa that some crazy man kills his wife because he had some beans on his beard or something, right? Even though there's no Melech Sodomus anymore, there's some Sakana out there. Meaning you can, if you're creative enough, and that's why the Gemara tells that crazy story, because if you're creative enough, you'll come up with a way that somehow it could be dangerous not to do it. So it wouldn't have been enough to be Mesakin Mayim Achron for the Sakana that you may murder your wife, but it's not enough reason to be Mesakin it. But once you were Mesakin for the real Sakana of Melech Sodomus, that Takana remains even when that Sakana no longer applies, because there are other Sakanos that are included. That's how the Rif is miyashiv. So where does that leave us bizman hazeh, right? Nowadays, is it a chova? Is it a mitzvah? So it turns out, really, only according to Tosfos, who holds that it's purely about Melech Sodomus, only according to Tosfos would we say that there is no chiyuv whatsoever nowadays. It would seem, according to everybody else, to the other Rishonim, that there would be a chiyuv. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Mechaber presents it, it's very difficult to get a real beat on what the Mechaber is trying to express to us. Because in the Simen in Shulchan Aruch about Mayim Achronim, Simen Kuf Pei Aleph, the Mechaber starts off the Simen with three words. Mayim Achronim Chova. Pretty strong, right? Bigger than a mitzvah. Mayim Achronim Chova. Then you read Sif Bey, Sif Gimel, Sif Da, all the details. Sif Hey, Sif Av, Sif Yud, end of the Simen. Mechaber says, yeah, we don't have Melech Sodomus anymore, so there's no more Mayim Achronim. You just told us like nine sentences ago, Mayim Achronim, you started the whole Simen with Mayim Achronim Chova. Shouldn't you have started with Mayim Achronim used to be a Chova, but don't worry about it anymore? So like you have like, we're super serious about this, Lenola Alachos, and then, you know, last line, JK, you know, like not really so serious. So what do you do with that Mechaber? So it's a little bit difficult to understand. Where did I see someone suggest? In the Sefer Nichba B'Kesef, I must have seen this quoted somewhere, maybe by Yalkut Yosef. He suggests that the Mechaber really means Mayim Achron Mechava. That's what he really holds. At the end, he feels that Shita Satosos is a significant enough Shita that it needs to be quoted. So he quotes it almost like a Yesh Omrin. But the real halacha, the real, in general, there are rules of how to read a mechaber. The mechaber says a stam and a yesh omrim. See, normally these rules are in a single sif, though. And the mechaber in a single sif will say stam halacha, and then it'll say v'yesh omrim otherwise. So the halacha is always like the stam against, and not like the yesh omrim. When he says yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, the halacha is usually like the second yesh omrim. When he says yesh omrim and yesh misha omer, then it's like the Yesh Omrim, not the Yesh Misha Omer. Yesh Misha Omer makes it sound like it's a minority opinion. So, says the Sefer Nichba B'Kesef, what the Mechaber is trying to do is trying to make a Stam in the Yesh Omrim. So the Stam is the Sif Aleph, and that's what he really passes like, and the Yesh Omrim is the last Sif. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that even Shita Satosos, where he doesn't take Mayim Achronim seriously, Bizman Azeb, Bizman Melch Sedomis, he says even Shita Satos was just trying to be Matzdik the Minak, but it wasn't. It's not what he would have told you to do lahalacha. Even Tosos would have told you lahalacha that you should wash Mayim Achronim. Rav Nevinsal suggests that there may be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Rav Nevinsal and Saras to the Mishnah Brura. Why in the world would there be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? Where are you more likely to encounter Melech Sedomus? So Rav Nevinsal says, my nafkamina, Rav Nevinsal will tell you to be makbid wherever you are. So what difference is there between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? So Rav Nevinsal writes, what if, and this happens a lot of times, you're eating a chevra around the table, right, and someone, the side of a reich. So now you have two options. You could run out and miss the zimun and do your mayim achronim, or you could stay for the zimun and miss mayim achronim. So which one should you miss? Says Rav Nevinsal, where are you? If you're in Eretz Yisrael, miss the Zimun. Go do Mayim Achron. I don't know if you're the third guy. I don't know if you would still say to do that, or you're the tenth guy. But miss the Zimun, go do Mayim Achron. If you're in Chutz La'aretz, then miss the Mayim Achron and do the Zimun. Very fascinating. I don't know what the evidence there is, in Rishonim to that Shita, but that's what he suggests based on Shita Satosos. He says, yeah, when Tosos says nowadays we don't have Melech Sedomis, of course Tosos didn't have Melech Sedomis. The Balei Tosos didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael they had Melech Sedomis. And you have this idea, the Rambam, you know, when he talks about Melech Sedomis, he says, you know, Melech Sedomis and things like it. You know, he's not. He doesn't think it. He thinks it's a lot of dafka Melech Sedomis. That there are other things on your hand. I don't know if you eat it like these greasy, fast food places. Whatever is left on your hands, you probably shouldn't be rubbing your eyes, you know, with that either. It can't be too good for you either. So it's a lot of dafka Melech Sedomis. Now, after all of that, you know, we have the Rush, Rav Haigon, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Aruch HaShulchan claims even Shita Satosos. That Mayim Achronim is something that we should all be doing all the time. Whenever you have to assume that what changed is forks and knives, right? I think that's what we'd have to assume. That the Rambam was worried about Melech Sedomis and things like it. That's when people ate mostly with their hands. Because if you want to be otherwise, I mean, if you're interested in being matzdik, the what seems to be an overwhelming minhag that even those who are, you know, sometimes do Mayim Achronim, aren't always so careful about Mayim Achronim. Plus, it should also be pointed out, most of the people do Mayim Achronim. Mishra Brura shries about this. He says, I don't get what these little drops on the fingers, he says, I don't know what that's all about. That's not really washing. You gotta wash. You gotta really wash it off. So even a lot of people that do Mayim Achronim, just pouring a few droplets. It should also be noted that Al Pi Kabbalah, if you're Makbid Al Pi Kabbalah, they say dafka to use a very small amount of water. Mishavura says, Al Pi Halacha, you got to use a significant amount of water. Al Pi Kabbalah, they say dafka, because you want to give the Sitra Achra more than a little bit. You only give a little bit to the Sitra Achra. You don't want to give. And they say, Al Pi Kabbalah, dafka not to use a fancy kli for mayim achronim. No silver for mayim achronim. Because you want to give the sitra achra, you want to be mechabed the sitra achra with silver? So this is one of those cases where the Kabbalah and the Halacha don't seem to shtim beautifully with each other. And it's also one of these cases where the Halacha and the Minhag don't seem to fit beautifully with each other. So something to think about, I guess. Okay.